Thanks for your participation. We'll do another one after the two speakers from Elevate Energy, who I'm going to introduce now. They're also going to be speaking in tandem. We have Angelina Benson-Glanz, who is the manager of New Market Initiatives at Elevate Energy, where she is responsible for leading their effort to expand affordable multifamily energy efficiency programs in Indiana, Michigan, Missouri, and Western Pennsylvania. She develops tools, templates, and processes to provide technical assistance to partner organizations who are starting up such programs. After her, we'll speak Peter Ludwig, who is the Director of Building Retrofits at Elevate Energy. He directs multiple energy retrofit programs across the single-family, multifamily, and commercial building sectors. Peter has focused on developing and building Elevate successful programs for retrofitting existing multifamily rental housing. They have been successful in retrofitting nearly 25,000 units since 2008. And on average, these projects have saved 30% on energy costs. So Angelina and Peter, we're curious to hear how you've been so successful. Thank you.
Yes, and thank you for we're really excited to participate. So we just want to thank EPA and our fellow panelists, and we're looking forward to just briefly sharing some of the things that we've, you know, are working on, have learned, and looking forward to a great discussion. Okay, so we have a very quick agenda. We're just going to talk very briefly about who Elevate Energy is, and just building off of Todd's comments about why we're interested in multifamily housing, particularly low income. We'll talk a little bit about our service model, and then Angelina will take it away and talk a little bit about how we're working nationally and some of the impact, and review a couple of case studies, and then hopefully we'll have at least some extra time. So at a real high level, Elevate is, we're a mission-based nonprofit organization. We're about 100 people, and we're a little over 10 years old. And we really do have a triple bottom line, and we work in a lot of different areas, including water efficiency. We work on smart grid projects. We do research and policy, and then a lot of what we're going to talk about today is just that we actually get into buildings and work with owners and customers, building owners, contractors, and help them make improvements to the buildings. So that's who we are at a high level, and this gives you an idea of the type of staff we have. We won't dwell on this, but we often bring a lot of these different skill sets and experience that's into our projects. Just to talk a little bit about why we see this as a huge opportunity. I know the slides will be shared, so we're not going to go over all the detail. But our analysis of the market showing that there's 10.5 million units. This would include public housing, HUD subsidized stock, LIHTC project, and also naturally occurring affordable housing. So we think it's a huge market opportunity. We started working in multifamily roughly in 2007, 2008, really focused more in Chicago, and since then we sort of branched out to serve all of Illinois, and then as Angelina mentioned, we do have, we're active in about 11 states, and we have some national partnerships working with Todd and his group, and IFA, and a couple of other partners, so we'll talk a little bit about that later. And now we'll sort of jump into just talking about our approach. We really think it's important. We sort of see that building owners need a flexible service that's available to them at really any time, whether it's a point of acquisition, whether it's just an existing building that they want to make more efficient, if it's a rehab, you know, if they're just looking to do some capital improvement, we're available to the owner at all those points. And the way our service is designed, we feel that building owners are pretty stretched for time. They don't have a lot of they don't have any extra time, and they really need a high touch level of service. So the way we've designed it is that there's an energy analyst who, as you can see on this chart, kind of takes the building owner from the beginning of the process, kind of looking at their energy, water consumption across the portfolio, all the way through the analysis and construction process to when you're actually examining the way the building is working. So by working, I mean, you know, how it's performing. Are the energy savings being realized in the way that we projected? So we feel like it's important to have a single point of contact who can drive the process and help the customer and bring contractors and internal construction resources and other technical resources to the project as needed. And so we find ourselves working with a lot of building owners. We've done about 25,000 units. And what we really have taken away from it is that in order to get the retrofits done, you really need to solve problems for your customers. And in order to solve the problems, you need to kind of understand what the problems are, and you need to have a good feeling of what are their needs and limitations, you know, what is their knowledge of energy efficiency, what's their knowledge of correct construction techniques, financing, do they know what's out there? And we think that there is a lot of skepticism and a lot of negativity among some owners, so we think it's really important that we have that we think through kind of what some of the barriers are, and in some ways our program is very much designed on addressing the barriers on the left-hand side, and I won't read through them all, but it's essentially mimics the previous slide just in a less graphic format, and discussing sort of why these elements of the program exist and what barrier they're designed to address. And in the end, our goal is to help building owners access service. It's to help them figure out, you know, what they can do to their building, how they can do it, who can do it, and how they can pay for it and ensure that a quality installation gets completed. And we really feel like if we can create a positive experience for early adopters, then they will become program advocates and spread the word. So we're going to go through a couple of just discussion about things that we think are really valuable points in the process for us and for the building owners. And the first is an assessment. And you know, in the course of any project, we might be at a building 3, 5, 10 times, depending on how complex it is and how many different subcontractors are working on it. But we really look at the initial assessment of the building as kind of collecting two levels of information. One is just, you know, interviewing people who run the building, talking to the building owner, finding out what their plans are, doing some diagnostic testing, collecting information about the building and systems, evaluating their O&M practices, identifying health and safety issues, all those things that are kind of familiar probably to everybody on the webinar. And then it's also an opportunity for us to sort of communicate who we are and what we do, you know, that we're an energy analyst, we're not city code inspector, why, you know, what value we think we're bringing, gathering really solid, actionable information that we can take back and work up our analysis with, perhaps help them with a non-energy related issue, like a comfort issue, or, you know, if there's a health and safety issue that we think that we can help them solve. And really using the assessment as a point to build trust and confidence with the customer, explaining kind of what we're looking for, reiterating our experience and success, and then really using that as a springboard to the next part of the process, which is to try to get them to do the retrofit. And I won't dwell on this either, but we try to present a very simple report. We can share this with the group, but it's really just states here's a list of things that we've analyzed, we've compared to your actual building's energy and water consumption, and here's what we think the paybacks will be. So we're able to pull from our database of you know, thousands of proposals and completed projects and savings analysis, and do our own modeling and figure out what we think is the most accurate and conservative projection on how they will these projects will perform. And we think that it's really important to give the building owner something very clear and very concise so that they're not having to read a very long engineering report, because they probably won't read it. We also think it's important just to communicate in building owners' language, so kind of talking to them about some of the benefits they might see, and the list of those on the right that probably not news to most people, but we think it's really important to sort of listen to their needs to discuss and emphasize the benefits in a way that it was really resonate with them, because we think that the goal is sort of to create a relationship and sort of provide really, really high level of customer service, and that in order to do that, you know, sometimes you need to say more about what the benefit is to them rather than sort of talk about your program or the logistics of your internal operations, for example. So those are some of the, another thing that we think is very important. And we also are working with a lot of owners who aren't sure and they're on the fence. And we sometimes we call it close the deal, but in reality it's sometimes more sort of coaxing the deal. And we wanted to sort of be proactive, but we also want to engage the building owner in a conversation that sort of isn't overwhelming, or you know maybe it's taking a small step if they have a chiller issue or a boiler issue. You know, maybe the first step is to get a couple of quotes and then start to build the trust with them, so that they feel like they can move forward in perhaps an incremental way if they're not entirely sure. And also that's often we've used existing relationships with other owners who might be able to put a good word in for us with the customer, because building owners trust building owners, and there's a very word-of-mouth market. And so we think it really, you have to work hard to build trust and credibility, and once you get it, you have to work hard to continue to have it. And then perhaps one of the most important things is just, maybe it seems obvious, but it's just really, really high-quality construction. No matter how good a proposal you write, how good a bid you write, or even how good your contractor is, there can always be something that goes wrong. And there's no replacement for, you know, having someone on site to really make sure it goes well. And we just had a project last week with a contractor who we trust and work through a lot of projects with, but they had hired a new crew, and the new crew didn't really know how to handle a health and safety issue that came up. And so it was really important that we were there to help them negotiate that issue. And so we feel like this back and forth working with the contractors, helping them develop, making sure the owner is getting that really high quality installation so that it's safe and that it performs well from a comfort and energy efficiency standpoint. And one more best practice that we wanted to talk about, actually two more, but is really looking at how the buildings perform. So we do projections in our reports, and we also look at 1 and 2 years down the road. We look at how the building is actually doing, and then we do actually reach out to building owners if it's not performing well. Say we thought it would save, you know, 40%, and they're only saving 20%. Then we'll look into that, and we'll help them figure out if there's, you know, tweaks we need to make to a control system, or you know, whatever the issue is, and that is a great system for us to really learn and get better at what we do. And we're actually more and more looking at monitoring systems in real time, remotely, which is really exciting and gives us a whole lot more data in a much quicker turnaround time. And then I'd say lastly, just really making sure that we actually do listen to our building owners and sort of reflect on what they tell us. And these are some of the things that, you know, building owners have told us that we sort of thought were probably true, but when we interview them, a lot of times at the close of a project, this is really some of the things that they report back to us about what's really important. And so you can see a lot of these are things that are indirectly related to the building's financial performance, occupancy, net operating income, but they're not immediately about energy savings, which sort of goes back to the issue of speaking their language. So this gives us a lot of information. It gives us a chance if there is some existing issue that we didn't wrap up with them, a complaint about a contractor, we can go back and address those so that we can ensure that these customers become advocates for us and for energy efficiency in general. And then there's just a couple of quick insights, and then we're going to let Angelina jump in. But here's a this is a story of a building owner who really did actually use the energy, the savings, the cash flow from the energy project to do a big project that otherwise he probably wouldn't have had the capital to do. So this is a really kind of, I think, developing and kind of rich story about the benefits of energy efficiency kind of really improving the housing stock in general. And then we have one more, which was just people have often talked about the split incentive, and we think that, you know, it's always an issue, but also I think there is, in our experience, we do have a core of folks who really are starting to understand the cost of having apartments that are too expensive to heat, especially in low to moderate income markets, the cost of maintenance to respond to those calls. So we feel like this is just a part of listening to building owners, listening to what they're telling us, really asking in-depth questions so that we can continue to make the program better and also to continue to develop the services that we're offering. And now I'm going to kick it over to Angelina, who's going to talk more about sort of impact and case studies for a few minutes.
Thanks, Peter. So as Peter mentioned, we began our multifamily program in Chicago in 2008, and since then we've scaled it up to serve the entire state of Illinois, as well as 3 years ago we began partnering with other mission-based organizations around the country to replicate our model and adapt it to their local markets. We're now working in 11 states, as Peter mentioned, in close collaboration with our national partners, New Ecology, and the EFA team of NRDC, NHT, and the Energy Foundation. As well as we're working with a number of local partners, which include lenders, implementers, community development organizations, and others. One thing that we've found in expanding and adapting our program model to all these new markets is that it is absolutely critical to engage the local key stakeholders early and often and really tailor the service offering to then the needs of the local owners. To Peter's point around making sure that we're serving the owners and we're also providing messaging that resonates with them. Since 2008, as Peter mentioned, we have retrofit almost 25,000 units in the state of Illinois, saving 16 million kilowatt hours and 6 million therms of natural gas. Our conversion rate has been about 42%, which we're really thrilled about. We work really hard, and as Peter has said a lot, to make sure that our owners have a good experience throughout the program, and we really strive to provide them all the support they need to convert from an energy assessment all the way through the end of the retrofit process. And typically our owners are seeing about 25 to 30% savings, which is great. And in many cases, we work very closely with our lending partner Community Investment Corporation and have leveraged $14 million in their capital to help our owners make these retrofits. So it's been really great. And though we're just beginning in our expanded additional states, we have retrofit over 1,500 units, as well as benchmarked 11,000 units. So we're really starting to see the impact spread nationally, and it's been absolutely wonderful. So now to dive into just two case studies today. The first here is a building located here in Chicago. It's a 55-unit, seven-story building, and the owner, Sandeep Sood, actually purchased this building and came to us through Community Investment Corporation, our lending partner, and he was actually able to utilize their 3% interest rate loan. At the time, his utility bills were $60,000 a year, and so we went in, we conducted an energy assessment, and actually walked him through the entire retrofit process, making sure to find good contractors and inspect all the work. And the retrofit included a new boiler, domestic hot water system, pipe insulation, and a few other measures. The savings were really significant, and he was thrilled by it. As you can see in this quote, his bill was decreased to about $18,000 a year. And in 2014, he became one of the first Energy Star certified multifamily buildings, which was a really wonderful moment for all of us. And then our last case study here is it's about a 110-unit, four-story, 1920s steam-heated courtyard building, which is a very typical building that we see here in Chicago. And the owners were a small family-owned firm. They had just a few buildings in their portfolio. And we've worked with quite a few of these smaller owners who really have the limited time, limited resources, and limited knowledge that Peter spoke about earlier. And during this assessment, we identified a significant need for roof cavity air sealing and insulation, as well as pipe insulation. And we were actually, at the time, we were able to provide an incentive of about $58,000, which was about half the cost of the retrofit. And it resulted in tremendous savings for these owners, which really, really needed, which we were just really thrilled about. And we continue to engage them about other opportunities within their building. But these are kind of the typical owners that we serve, which has been great. So, we just wanted to present a little bit about our program and our impact in some case studies. We would like to thank EPA again for this opportunity to present. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to submit them during the Q&A session or reach out to us directly. Thank you.
Thank you, Angelina and Peter. Very good presentation. I think it's obvious that you've been successful in going beyond the light touch. So congratulations. And what struck me was that by going beyond the light touch, you have your building owners have been able to provide some benefits to their tenants, even if they're not paying the utility bills, such as they don't have to complain as much, they don't feel the need to move out as much. And so that's really important in this whole discussion of affordable housing is how can the residents themselves benefit. So another audience participation moment here. If you would please select your answers to this question. Oh, this is the tough one. You only get one answer. What do you see as the biggest barrier to implementing energy efficiency in multifamily housing? It's hard to pick one, but do your best. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to give everyone just a few more seconds.
Great, thanks for trying. The most popular one is lack of access to capital, which isn't surprising, 36%. 31% selected limited awareness of programs and upgrade options. And then lack of energy data and lack of time and expertise and lack of ways to track post savings. Hopefully some of the resources and the groups that have spoken today can point you in the direction of how to overcome some of those barriers, we hope. Thanks for participating. Don't forget to submit your questions as we go along. And if you can, indicate the speaker that your question is directed to.